Evening, everyone. We're going to start with number 135. If you'll take your hymnals, let's go ahead and stand for this first song. These people are still filing in. We'll start with number 135. We'll go through the whole story. So we'll do all of these verses, and then we'll take some requests. So do be thinking. We'll start while shepherds watch their flocks. Number 135.
While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around, and glory shone around. Fear not, said he, for mighty dread had seized their troubled mind. Glad tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind, to you and all mankind. To you in day this town, this day is born of David's line. The Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this shall be the sign, and this shall be the sign. The heavenly babe you there shall find to human view displayed, all meanly wrapped in swathing bands, and in a manger laid, and in a manger laid. All glory be to God on high, and to the earth be peace. Goodwill henceforth from heaven to men begin and never cease. And never cease.
Thank you. You may be seated. We'll take some requests. Surely everyone has a favorite Christmas song that you like to sing. 133. Okay. There's only three. Let's do them all. 133, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Glory to the newborn King.
144? All right. Why don't we do the marked verses 1 and 2?
While by the sheep we watched at night, glad tidings brought an angel bright. How great our joy, great our joy, 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 joy. Praise be the Lord in heaven on high. Praise be the Lord in heaven on high. There shall be born, so he did say, in Bethlehem a child today. How great our joy, great our joy, 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 joy. Praise be the Lord in heaven on high. Praise be the Lord in heaven on high.
125. All right. Joy to the world. We do the first and last. 125.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love.
157? Okay. Good. Let's do the first and last, Away in a Manger. All right, let's do those in order. 132. We'll do verses 1 and 3, the marked verses, on 132.
Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain. And the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strains. Gloria in come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
All right, and if you'll stand, this 166 will be our last one. Great minds think alike. This is the one that Steve had requested. So we'll stand and sing We Three Kings, number 166. And why don't we sing 1, 2, and 5? 1, 2, and 5.
Well, good evening. I would like to make one announcement slash plea. Next Sunday night, our family Christmas program, we need more slots filled. So if you're here and you just have decided you would like to minister to the church family through music, scripture, something, please let Brad know and we will get you in the schedule. All right. I have decided that I am just in the mood tonight to give a pop quiz. I've been talking to a number of you who have had quizzes this last week, tests. And so it's only right that all of us participate together so we can be united as a group of people. So this is a pop quiz. 5 questions. So the fact is, they're each worth 20 points, and if you flunk, I guess we'll beat you with a wet noodle or something. All right, here's the first one, and this song got you ready for it. Okay, We Three Kings. How many wise men were there? Some of you are shrugging your shoulders. We don't know, do we? We don't know. Unfortunately, we've got this little creche at home. little manger scene, and there's only three of them. So therefore, there's got to be three, right? Number two, were they at the birth of Jesus? No. When did they show up? Later. Later's the answer, right? All right. How many of you are two for two? Yeah, some of you. I'm sorry for the rest of you. were they wise? They were wise. Okay. How do you know they're wise? I've got a room full of lawyers. Did they ride camels? Our creche at home has camels, so obviously they rode camels. Okay, now this is we just don't know. You're right. Here's the topper. This is very obvious. What were the gifts they brought? Gold, frankincense. So it really does help us, right? The hymn. Is that all they brought? There's a lot we don't know. Isn't that right? A lot we don't know. Well, I'd like to turn in our Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 2. And hopefully we'll get a little bit of wisdom from these wise men, these magi. Matthew chapter 2. And I'd like to read to you the first 12 verses. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it arose, and we've come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" And then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go, search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." And after listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Let's begin with prayer tonight, and we'll spend some time in this passage. Lord, what a marvel as we read in Scripture about these men, these Gentiles who came from the east. We know very little about them, their circumstance, what it was that prompted them to even look into the heavens and see this star. And Lord, equally, we marvel that some way and somehow you worked in our own lives to bring us to the truth of salvation in Jesus. That equally is a marvel. And would ask that tonight, as we look into the Scriptures, you would help us to learn some lessons, to be very wise, even as these men seem to be as they responded to this star. And we pray that you would teach us, instruct us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if your home is anything like ours has become, but it seems to be a very busy time of year. A lot of things going on, very hurried, a lot of events, family things, and of course shopping, proverbial shopping. And my suggestion is don't go to Walmart on the weekend. But whatever the case, there's a lot going on, and it seems to focus, we lose focus on the very reason why we celebrate Christmas, the very purpose of it, and why it is an event that we celebrate. We lose the focus of it with all the things that are involved, and even the good things. We sometimes will come and assemble together, but our minds can be a lot of other places as we are thinking about what has to be done, where we need to go, who we need to be with, and we give the Lord our hour of attention. But is that really what the Lord, this King, this Sovereign of the universe, deserves of His people? And we learn some things from these men we call the wise men. Years ago, old theologians used to describe the work of Jesus as being a prophet, a priest, and a king. And so tonight I want to spend just a little bit of time thinking about what it is to worship a king and give attention, homage to the one that is our King, our Lord. And we can find some good things, some advice from these magi tonight. Teach us maybe even how to be wise at Christmas. No one really knows, as we said, who they were. Contrary to we three kings of Orient are, they were probably not kings. They were not three that we know of, at least, though church history says it gave them names. Casper was the one you forgot, John. Yeah. But we don't know. We don't know who they were. The only thing it tells us is they brought at least three kinds of gifts, this gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We don't really know what country they came from. Don't know that they rode camels. Best guess we have is that they were probably from some kind of prominent class of people. Perhaps from Persia. Perhaps they were wise men who were well-educated, even in religious matters. It's possible that maybe they read some old writings in Persia. Maybe they had read of a very famous man by the name of Daniel. And maybe they read something along the lines of that there would be a divine king who was born in Bethlehem. Perhaps they had heard about this Messiah from Jews that had been scattered throughout the then known world, gone places, taken their writings with them. They may have read, as we said, this prophet Daniel, who was very prominent at the time. But somehow, they had a knowledge. They had a knowledge that there is a Jewish Messiah. They called him a king. There was a king born. And they went to Jerusalem. And this star was, I suspect, some kind of supernatural phenomenon. Maybe it was like the children of Israel that were led by a cloud or a pillar of fire, some sort of event that took place. And they were able to see it, and obviously they responded to this event. Nobody really knows much about these men other than just this little bit that's written here. But this is what we know for sure. They responded to the light that God had given them by seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were clear in their purpose. What was their purpose? We came to worship Him. They obviously knew something was going on, an important event was taking place. They may not have known all about His divine nature, but from this text and what we read here, it's obvious that they were giving homage in a way that they weren't giving to Herod. They were bowing at the cradle. They were worshiping in a way that wasn't given to anyone else. And they must have at least perhaps known that this newborn king was even one that Daniel described as one like a son of man, whom was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom one that will not be destroyed. These men came. They had a number of obstacles in their way, and yet they found him, and finding him, they worship him. But there's some things that I think are important to understand. A truly wise person is a person that worships the Lord and King for the work that he has done in their lives. We worship him because of his work of salvation in our lives. I think we would be greatly mistaken to conclude that these men, because of some inherent wisdom in them, sought the Lord. No one, Romans 3 says, seeks after him. As a matter of fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says that no one comes to God because of their own wisdom. Rather, God chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, so that no man would boast before God. And the factual reason is, these men sought the Lord because God took some kind of initiative in revealing himself to them. While they were still back home, wherever home was, the Lord took some initiative and revealed supernaturally a sign in the heavens that they were able to connect to a Jewish Messiah, a king who was born. They made that connection in some way. Theologically, I think as well, Matthew showing us that though the Jews had hardened their hearts and this newborn Messiah was right in their midst, yet because of their hardness, they missed it. They just missed it. The religious leaders, less than 5 miles away down in Bethlehem, and it was happening right under their thumb, and yet didn't observe, didn't go there. And they showed that this Messiah as well was not their king. But here you have Gentiles. Here you have people of the nations. And the Lord has begun this work of drawing them, pulling them down, just like Daniel foretold that he would be a king of the nations. And it's the sovereign God who spoke the universe into existence, who has control even over the destinies of our lives, each one of us. And the fact that he condescended to even use a star, showing that the Lord comes where we are. And that's what Christmas is, isn't it? That the Lord condescended to come where we are, and therefore that he might save his people from their sins. He took, the sovereign Lord took upon himself our form, humanity. He would become like us. So he condescended to come down. It's a rare thing, just happened once in history, that this star, a miraculous event, took place in the sky. It's far more common for us to hear the preaching of the Word, the teaching of the Word, the speaking to others about the truth of salvation in Jesus Christ. That's how it usually happens. And so perhaps just an encouragement this Christmas. When you think about it, spend some time reflecting, worshiping our saving Lord, because He used someone, something, a scripture you read, a teacher you may have had. He used someone in your life. All of your events are very different, how you came to the Lord. What did the Lord use? What was the marvelous event that He moved so that you could get to the point where you would hear and you would respond? That was the work of the Lord. That's a marvelous work. Wise men respond to God's work in their lives. God sought these wise men, but they had to respond by seeking the king. It wasn't an easy process, I don't think. Several things could have hindered them. It was a difficult journey. You know, just think of it. Weeks, months. You had the fear of robbers. Every once in a while, you had a caravanserai, a place where the caravan could go in and spend the night away from the danger of robbers. You didn't have McDonald's for breakfast. You didn't have the opportunity to stop in the nice state-run rest area. Wasn't available to you. A lot of hardship on the way. They went a long way. No Holiday Inn, no cars, no interstates. There were nights of cold and danger. But when they finally got to Jerusalem, you thought, well, the city would have been abuzz with this truth of there's a king born. They got there and nothing. They couldn't even get directions to the right place. Why go through all that hassle? What was in it for them? Were they looking for some help to solve a personal problem? Oh, if we can only find that baby, it'll take care of all of our problems. Oh, only if we could just get down there, we would finally have peace and contentment and joy in our lives. Is that what they were doing? Is that what was going on in their lives? Maybe if we get down there and make ourselves known, we can be in His court, the King's court. Or, think about it. They couldn't even talk to a king. He was a baby. They couldn't talk to him. They couldn't interact with him. And they showed up, and it wasn't in the palace. It wasn't in the summer house of the king. It was just a common house, probably a dirt floor. And I imagine there were animals running all over doing what animals do. I mean, not a pleasant environment, not a sterile hospital bed. It's just, that's where He came. It would be 30 years before He even began His public ministry. There wasn't really anything in that trip that was for the wise men. They didn't say, well, we've seen His star in the east and we've come to get something from Him. It's not what happened. And the point is that God graciously worked in them. And when He works in us as His people, how do we respond? We don't know. You know, what were your expectations? They had perhaps no answer to the struggles of life, the difficulties that would happen. He alone, though, is worthy of our worship, of our adoration, of all our troubles. Because if we think, well, we come to Christ and all our struggles will be gone, that's looking for a genie in a bottle. That's not looking for a Lord to worship. The Lord is worthy of our worship. He is our Creator. He is our Sustainer. And things may be difficult, even as it probably was for the wise men coming to Him. But they sought Him as Lord and King. The wise men, they followed after Jesus as King in spite of a lot of disinterest. When you read this, as we read this, can you imagine how these wise men felt? They had traveled for weeks to worship a newborn king of the Jews, and they arrived at the very capital of the Jews, Jerusalem. And probably they went to talk to the first push cart they found, guy selling kosher hot dogs. "Hey, where's the king?" "What king?" "But you want to buy a hot dog?" Said, "Well, you need to talk to somebody else." So they run up to the Temple Mount to the religious teachers who spent all their time studying the Scriptures. "Hey, where is the one that's born King of the Jews?" "We don't know. We don't know what you're talking about." Well, maybe they thought, "Well, we're talking to the wrong people. We need to talk to Herod himself, the king." And they go up to his palace. And when Herod heard that there was a newborn king of the Jews, he was not disinterested. As a matter of fact, he was very interested. He troubled all of Jerusalem with him. He was troubled because he was a suspicious tyrant. And he was fearful that there might be somebody showing up on the scene that might take his place. Think about it. Herod was quite a fella. He killed a brother-in-law. He killed a mother-in-law. Before he died, he killed his wife. He killed three sons as well as all the other babies. He was a vicious guy. And if he had heard and found out where Jesus was, he would have been vicious. And he would have taken care of the matter. He wouldn't have hesitated to go after Jesus. But none of the religious leaders got troubled enough to follow these wise men 5 miles down to Bethlehem. They wouldn't go. They could give perhaps the right biblical answers, but it hadn't affected them. It hadn't affected their hearts. They knew where His birthplace was supposed to be, but they weren't interested enough in a newborn king. And probably they were considered, there's a bunch of religious fanatics that are showing up and they're looking for a Messiah. And He's not on the scene because we don't have a strong military leader. He's not here. And they weren't ready. But in spite of all the indifference of the people around them, of those who should have been excited, they went alone to Bethlehem to worship this newborn king. And you know, apathy can be a hindrance from the worship of the Lord this season. The worst kind of disinterest came from the religious leaders. Of all the people who should have known, who should have been like these wise men, full of joy and excitement, it's not what happened. It was, yawn. Same old kinds of things we've heard before and we've studied, but it's not happening. It was more of an academic exercise in studying the Bible. They didn't allow it to really confront their pride, their self-centeredness, their selfishness. And people may think that we are fanatics
if we worship and adore Him and love Him and pay homage to Him. What's the world think of us? And what should it think? But what Christmas ought to do is threaten lukewarmness. It ought to prick our hearts that we have a king. We have a sovereign that we can bow the knee to. What a marvelous thing the coming of Jesus is for the believer. Don't let disinterest hinder you this Christmas season from adoration of the King. Wise men worship the King no matter what happens. Again, you can put yourself in these wise men's sandals. They were a people who advised the kings. They were advisors. Perhaps advisors if they came from Persia, for the Persian kings. And they were very used to living in royal trappings. They had the best of everything. They themselves had their own servants. They had people that would pay attention to their every whim. And yet, after they saw a star of this newborn king of the Jews, they started that journey. And they must have had some kind of expectations of what they would find when they got there. And they got there and they didn't see anything. Life was going on as it normally did. People were buying and selling and going about their business of the season. And after all, not every king has a star that points to where he is residing. Not every king was like that. They went to Herod's palace, but he wasn't there, and maybe they thought, well, he's off one of the other summer houses of Herod. Couldn't find him. He wasn't there. And maybe they thought, well, he's out on the grounds. But what did they find? It says in verse 11, going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. Mary and Joseph had moved to a more permanent residence, other than the stable that he had been born in. But it was a very common house in Bethlehem, working class parents. There was nothing in him that we should behold him. He just looked like a normal baby. No fancy robes, no attendants, no palace, nothing that even hinted of royalty in this passage. And yet the wise men, it says, they fell down and they worshiped him. Fell down and worshiped a baby, not a full-grown man, a baby. That was their worship. And I think that took faith. That took a great deal of faith for them to bow down with their background, their advisor of kings, and yet they fell down at a baby's cradle. They had been to Herod's palace. They had seen all the splendor there. But they didn't bow and worship to Herod. They came to a common setting, a couple with a child. Didn't perform any miracles for them. Didn't have a halo around his head. Angels weren't hovering overhead. And yet they fell before him in worship. And they presented him with treasures, their gifts. They came. They didn't let anything keep them from bowing before Jesus as King. And in this Christian life, we will have disappointments. And you may have expected, as we said, a life free from even pain, and expected Him maybe to solve problems. In fact, maybe you have more problems than before. And maybe you expected just this abundant life. It didn't include suffering. But these wise men looked beyond what expectations of the world have. Oh, if we just get to the king, he'll answer, you know, like the wise men in the East, where, you know, you just go to him, you can find the answer to life. Oh, if we just find the answer, you have none of that. You have simple worship in faith of these wise men. And wise men and wise women seek Jesus as their king, in spite of difficulties and disappointments and disinterest of other people. But we, of all people, are to worship and adore the king. They were important men in their home, but they were, and maybe they were equivalent of cabinet members, but and they had wealth and they had influence. And by bowing down on a dirt floor in a little house in Bethlehem, they showed that they believed, that they had faith. Somehow the Lord had worked in their life. Verse 10 tells us, when they saw the star, they left Jerusalem, they went to Bethlehem, and they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And Matthew just piles up the superlatives. They were excited. They were joyful. They had the privilege of bowing their knee before the Lord. When they got to the house, it wasn't, you know, I don't bow down on a dirt floor because I'm an important person. But they bowed before him and worshiped him. Proud Herod wouldn't do that. The scribes in Jerusalem know nothing about that. They only bowed when it was proper in the temple in front of others that they might see, oh, their piety. But these men showed faith. They bowed before him. We no longer worship this babe of Bethlehem, but a risen sovereign Lord of heaven and earth, who's returning in might and majesty one day, one who will return as a judge, as a king, as a ruler of all. Every knee will bow before him. And so, at Christmas, who do you think about? You think of simply a babe, or do you think of this as a king? This is a king that is worthy of all our adoration. Well, after these men left their gifts, they departed to their own country. They didn't set up a stand and sell tickets. They didn't decide, well, let's write a book when we get back home. But they quietly returned home, went on with their lives, different men. Men who by faith had seen the king, and they had worshiped him. And that's what the Lord would have us do this Christmas, to respond to his initiative in sending Jesus by thanking him and adoring him as our king, as our Lord. We celebrate this story, I suppose, at Christmas time. A lot of misunderstanding, a lot of things that maybe aren't quite exactly as we portray it. But you see the providence of God at work, that God superintended creation for the sake of these men. Nothing we know about them other than their response. But God planted a star in the heavens that these men may respond to him. They saw a star. They even had dreams that guided them. And God did it for his very purpose. while we understand in the Bible, practically thinking, that God, we wonder, is God really concerned with our lives, just as He was these men? And I'm not talking about God giving special dreams and visions or a star. I'm talking about, if He cared for these men, does He not care for you? Does He not care about your circumstance? That's what we mean by providence. He superintends events for your life. He superintends people and situations and His Word when you read it and things that you hear. He is at work. That's His providence for you. He did for those men to bring them to the point that they bowed before Him. And He did it for you to bring you to salvation. But He does it for you in your life right now. That's the providence of God. But also in this passage, I think there's a lot about worship. It just permeates this story. These are esteemed men, and they're much like people in the world that will one day come and bow before the infant Savior. It's really a fulfillment, even as Brad talked about this morning, of the Abrahamic covenant, where nations will be blessed through Him. And we see them as maybe, in a sense, almost a first fruits of a people that would come and bow their knee. And we sit here tonight in fulfillment of that as well. We can bow before Him this season. But we also see obedience of those who sought the Christ. They're much like people in our time. Friends and neighbors and family members that are, as of yet, apart from Him. But maybe God's working in them. Maybe God is using you, using your words, using something you say to a friend or a relative that might impress upon them their need to worship Jesus as a Savior. He may not send a star or a dream, but may use your prayers, your words, your cards this time of year to bring His sheep. He did it with astrologers from the East, and He can do it with people today. But whatever the case, as Christ Jesus has revealed Himself in your life, and you have responded by faith, make Him a focal point. Again, it's a hurried time of year. Take some time to slow down a little bit, to think about who it is that we worship and what this season really is all about. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that some way we tonight might learn some things from these men. Might learn what real wisdom's all about. It's the fear of You. It's the adoration of You. It's the marvel that we could be called Your people. And it took place because of condescension of our Savior. Remind us tonight, Father, of who we are. Remind us of how You have so worked in our lives, somehow, in some means, to bring us to faith. And help us this season to be very prone to talk with people, to speak of the adoration we have for Christ Jesus. Bless our time tonight around the table, our time of fellowship. We ask that it would be very special and enjoyable to us. In Jesus' name.